When was the last time you did something just for you? Discover your summer essentials with FabFitFun, the best subscription box service delivering full-size self-care and wellness products delivered straight to your door. Their experts carefully pick from top trending products for you to personalize your own box of happiness. Just choose your plan and get ready for the best in home, fashion, beauty, wellness, and so much more. So whether it's the perfect beach blanket, a handy wine chiller, or aloe vera gel, FabFitFun has you covered for all of your fun in the sun needs. You'll get to choose some of the products to go in your box while the rest are a surprise. Plus, you can access other perks like flash sales and new items up to 70% off. FabFitFun is more than just an incredible value. It's me time in a box, all about the brands you love, the brands you will love, and doing something that's just for you. Visit FabFitFun.com for 50% off your first box while supplies last when you use code TALKSHOW. That's FabFitFun.com, code TALKSHOW.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Storm.
The Boogie Monster, podcasting the unknown.
You make it home?
Barely, man.
Welcome back,
like a,
dude.
Like a marathon runner with bloody nipples and diarrhea running down his leg. I made it back in.
Oh my god.
Oh, this is rough.
You always paint such a picture.
I work with words. Yeah, dude, I want to start by saying thanks to the folks who hooked me up with the last minute shows and got me to click off my 50 states in Wyoming and in Montana.
Oh, nice.
That was it. The last week was, Wyoming was Monday, and I did Bozeman Wednesday and put Missoula on Friday, which in that one, I think I did like an hour and a half. I'm sorry, but I got caught in that comedian thing where like, and this will be the last joke, mm-hmm. and it doesn't get quite the last, or you didn't deliver it the way you wanted. Like, all right, well, then this next one will be the last joke. And like, I've been up here too long.
Yep. Yeah, let me.
And part of it was, the end of the tour. Here's all the stuff I got right now, everybody.
Yeah, I've made that mistake. You want to end on a high note, and you just can't dismount because nothing's really hitting the way you want it at the end.
Yeah, that high note turns into a half-hour-long attempt.
Oh, man. How was Missoula? I like that town.
It was cool, man. Yeah. I got there early. I got there Tuesday night and kind of figured, like, all right, I'm just going to go bar hop. I'm going to walk around Missoula. And it was pretty fun, man. I do miss... I mean, that's the L.A. part talking. I miss bars that are just bars for the sake of being bars.
Yeah.
As we've discussed before. Like, why does it have to have a theme or be reinvented or have, like, oh, this is like, no, this bar is, the theme is Cold War Lithuania. It's like, I don't need.
Oh, man.
Like, communist theme cocktails. I just want to go to a bar.
Yeah.
Just... And, So yeah, I bopped around, man. I went and saw there's like sort of country band in some basement somewhere. I watched that for a little bit, and it was cool, man. Just a little downtown area, and they play that game. They play the dice game. Just get five of a kind. That's all it is.
Huh?
Five die or six die in a tumbler, and you just have to match them all.
Okay, simple enough.
And apparently the one bar was up to like $6,000 or $7,000. That I heard later, because I'm sitting in there, and people were just, I was like right by the door. People would come in and just say, oh my God, somebody won it. Because they had the tally written on the, behind the bar. It was only like $500 or something. Like, somebody won the $6,000. Like, that was the big news.
Dude, that is big news.
Yeah, but $6,000 and a little dice game at the bar.
Could you imagine just going in for a couple of drinks and you leave with $6,000? So
somebody's like, I hope whoever it was bought everybody a beer in this bar.
So yeah. What do? They charge a buck or two per roll, and then half of it goes towards the tally, or how do they?
Yeah, it was like, it was, what was it, $2 for five rolls, or I forget what that was. And I guess, yeah, honor system, that money goes into the till.
Okay.
It goes into the pot. But that, man, what an easy way to lose a few bucks. Because you just see somebody doing it, and there's no, I'm like, oh, yeah. Because I like dice games. Uh-huh. I like playing 4, 5, 6, which is an easy one. I don't know if you ever play that. You got like...
No.
Start with, you need $3 bills or three whatever amounts. And you do it with fives. You can do it with quarters. And I think it's if you roll a four, it goes... $1 goes to the left. You get three die.
Mm-hmm.
If you get all fours, all three of your dollars go to the left. If you get all sixes, all three of your dollars go to the right. If you get all fives, it goes in the pot. If you get one, two, or three, you keep it.
Huh.
It's just, I'm not explaining it right, but it's a real fun, easy party game to where if everybody's playing with a dollar, but you got 10 people playing, and all of a sudden that's $30 in singles in the middle at the end with two people left playing. That $30 looks like a lot of money when you start with $3, and it makes it exciting.
That does sound fun. I've never been much of a gambler in that regard. I don't know anything about dice games, card games, none of that shit. That's something I'm not opposed to it. I don't know why I'm not into it. I think that's something I wasn't raised on. It wasn't like part of my culture growing up, so I never really latched onto it or got into it, but...
You ever play scratchers?
No. Oh, eh. I've probably bought 10 scratchers my whole life. Like when I was a teenager, I remember when all that became legal in Georgia. It was what was it called? We got the Hope Foundation or something where they implemented lottery stuff to Georgia, and then part of the proceeds went to like public education. So like that's how all like the moralist Christians kind of justified it, because you know you're not supposed to gamble if you're a Christian, but they're like, it's going towards education.
That was it. Yeah, Illinois was like, it all benefited the school system. Like, well, not well enough, because people still think playing the lottery the odds are in their favor, so clearly they're not doing a great job with the school system.
Yeah,
with all this money we're giving them, because people are still like, I'm gonna win the lottery, I don't need a job. Like, all right.
Man, there's nothing more depressing than going into a gas station and just seeing somebody just camped out. Like, no, I've been here for an hour and a half. I've already dropped a couple of $100. Let me get another one of those $5 scratchers. Like, what is that?
It was like we would do that like Christmas. That would be like stocking stuffers or scratch-off tickets. Because it was fun for everybody to do them. Then somebody like, so-and-so got a couple $100. Same thing. Maybe I bought 10 of them in my life.
Mm-hmm.
But whenever it's like Powerball or shit like that, the big lotto, I don't care. I don't care about that.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know.
But the dice game's fun. So it's just right away, and it's like, you know, you're interactive. Plus, you've had a few drinks. That's how they get you.
Mm-hmm.
Micro Vegas. You drunk? Here, I'll have these dice for a couple bucks. But Missoula was cool hanging out, and then I wound up at some bar. I did a tweet about it. I'm like, I'm at a gay bar. It was like, Missoula has a gay bar. I'm like, I don't know. It's gayer than the other ones I went to. But, like Ian Carmel was on TV because, you know, he's the head writer for James Corden. I don't really watch late night TV, but I didn't realize how much Ian was just part of the show now.
Oh, really? Yeah, I don't watch it either, but...
yeah, but he's like him. Just part of the show interacting. Like, Ian's up there and they're playing some Tina Turner songs. It was like good. And I was like, all right, man. I was just feeling it.
I love Missoula because I love any town that's just right smack dab in the wilderness. Like, oh, there's a bunch of cool bars right here, but 3 miles that way, there's grizzly bears. I love it.
Yeah.
Asheville, North Carolina is that way. Knoxville's kind of that way. Missoula. Yeah, just any town where like.
Isolated.
Just, yeah, if this little town wasn't here, this would be, I mean, the next town is, you know, dozens and dozens of miles away. I love that.
Yeah, you get that Wild West vibe, like, oh, this is where everybody kind of convened.
Mm-hmm. Everybody comes down from the mountain to trade.
Yeah. Yeah, you can feel it. I've got my pelts. I've got jokes that I will trade for some doubloons. Mm. Yeah, I was, I camped out the night before, just found some campsite on the way in between Laramie and there. And then I parked at a Walmart that first night. Man, there's two Walmarts. I'm like, all right, I'm going to do the Walmart thing tonight. Mm-hmm. I get to one, smelled like trash day in hell.
Really?
Whatever was going on. And I kept trying. I'm like, maybe they put like manure or something down in this area, like of the landscaping. I tried to go to a different part. Whole thing was horrible. Had to uproot, go to the other Walmart across town. And I was telling somebody, I'm like, yeah, it smells. Yeah, there's like a pork processing plant right there, and the river. I'm like, okay, it all smelled like I wasn't going to be able to sleep.
Hmm.
You know.
That's bad when you can't sleep because of smell.
It was ungodly. And then I went to the other one, and that was I did the show in Bozeman Wednesday. Thursday night is when I got up to Missoula, and I was in kind of bad shape. And I made my bed, so I'll lie in it. I was booze saturated for the past 7 weeks, and the gout was like, oh, remember me?
Oh, no.
Remember how you decided to have all the beer and let your medicine run out? Well, here's your friend. I'm just going to take a bite out of your knee right now.
Oh.
But so I was drinking like a ton of water, flush it out. And I think I flooded a whole corner of that Walmart parking lot.
You at least put it in the grass, like, right? You didn't just pour it on the asphalt.
I just poured it out the door.
Oh, dude. Dude.
What? That really? That's unethical?
Yeah, poured it right onto the asphalt parking lot? Come on, man. You got to at least get it in a natural area.
Yeah, I didn't want to offend the meth smokers I was parked next to.
Oh, man. Nah, I'm not here to judge.
Yeah, I didn't want to upset the guy who made a squirrel's nest out of Taco Bell wrappers and his Buick LeSabre next to me.
Oh man, that Walmart parking lot can be a wild ride. A lot of folks.
It was. I mean, I slept pretty well otherwise.
Yeah.
Nobody was running generators or anything.
Walmart and Flying J's. That was my go-to on the road to crash.
I did that. Did you see Brooks Wheelan's dad? The thing that he posted?
Oh, yes. Refresh my memory. Dad, what was it about?
His dad.
Oh, has the his fireworks.
Own fireworks. Has his own fireworks kiosk in like a Walmart parking lot, and he sleeps in the kiosk. And then the band Styx parked their tour van there and left their generator going all night. So his dad was starting a Facebook war with Styx to be like, oh, you got, who does this? What kind of real rock band can't even find a hotel? Whatever, man. You guys tanked after Mr. Roboto or something.
Oh, it was like picking
a fight with Styx because he's trying to sleep in his fireworks kiosk. Brooks, man, I already like Brooks, but Brooks will say some things, you're like, that's not true, and then you find out, oh, your family is crazy.
Why don't y'all come sail away this generator, assholes?
His whole family are like wrestling coaches or former pro wrestlers. His dad is like a ripped old guy who takes shirtless selfies still.
He used to have that bit about his dad killed a possum with a hammer. Horrific.
Jesus.
Yeah, I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, that's some Iowa shit right there.
Oh, man,
but
that's funny.
That one got me that. He's like, yep, my dad is starting an internet fight with the band Styx over where they can park.
Oh, man, that is so funny.
Yeah. Also, oh, here's one for the Seinfeld heads out there. So after the show in Missoula, Missoula Friday night, we go to this bar that they say that Flippers, where it all that's like the comedy bar where everybody kind of convenes. And you know who was there that night hanging out? The maestro from Seinfeld.
No way.
Somebody said that, yeah, he flew in to do a play in Missoula and was hanging out there. And we just figured it was the oldest guy that was at the bar. There was an old guy there. I can't remember what the maestro looked like at all.
Maestro, if I'm not mistaken, is the same actor who played in Raising Arizona, Nick Cage's boss, which tells one of my favorite street jokes of all time.
Is that him?
I think that's the same actor. He's also in the Motley Crue, or not Motley Crue, Twisted Sister video.
Okay, now...
And he's Dr. Kennedy on Sopranos.
Wait a minute. Okay, I thought it was the dude. Now, you think of the guy from the Twisted Sister video, which is the guy from Animal House. He's playing his character from Animal House in the Twisted... Because I read a lot of 80s glam rock books on this trip.
Mm-hmm. In Raising Arizona, he tells the joke. He goes, Polak walks into a bar holding a big old pile of dog shit in his hand. Goes, hey, look what I just almost stepped in. I fucked it up. Look what I almost stepped in. Because he's holding it. That's why that's funny.
Yeah. Good wait, job, dude. It's not.
Is that not the same is guy?
Is it Niederman? Now, oh boy, now we're. Now we're in it here. Uh-huh. Hold on. Now I'm looking at the
Sam McMurray. Is that the same guy?
Hold on. The maestro Seinfeld. Mark Metcalf.
Oh, okay. I'm thinking of a different. It's two dudes that look alike then.
No. Okay. So no, you were right. He was Niedermeyer from Animal House.
Uh huh.
He is not the dude from Raising Arizona.
He's not that guy.
No.
Oh, okay.
That guy, I thought was.
Huh. Man, they look a lot alike.
I could see how that would get confusing.
Yeah. Well, my whole world is shattered now.
This guy was. Holy shit, man! I didn't know it was the same guy as Niedermeyer.
Uh-huh.
I would have definitely made a line. Because, like, the Seinfeld thing, I'm like, oh, a lot of people came in the room, but Niedermeyer's classic, man.
Animal House never did it for me. I watched it, like, three times, and it was okay. It might be one of those generational things where it was just a little before my time. And I'm not one of those idiots that can't enjoy things before their time. But maybe just the sense of humor.
I'm not one of those idiots that can't enjoy that. I like fire.
No, but like
indoor plumbing.
I met so many young.
I appreciate a lot of things.
I met so many young people that have never seen like classic movies just because it was 10 years before their time. I'm like, yeah, I get that was before your time, but you know, go back and do your research and enjoy all the art that happened before you were born.
But I hate to tell it to you. Wait till you go back on the road and you're hanging out with comedians that are literally half your age and they do not understand Simpsons references.
Yeah.
And you're like, how could you not understand that? Oh, I don't know. Maybe the same way my parents couldn't understand why I didn't know who Maude was or, you know, the same way I didn't. But soap is the greatest TV show ever. Nah, get out of here, old people.
Yeah.
Or how the theme song to MASH just let me, like, I never knew what, like, I wasn't depressed as a kid, but if I was up late enough and then the theme song to MASH started playing, I'm like, it was like basically like a bar saying, last call, and you didn't know how long you were there for.
Dude, I feel the exact same way. I can never put my finger on it, but I used to always get bummed out when I would hear that song because I knew... I was up way too late, and just, yeah, this
like
wasn't
I felt
for
hungover
me.
As a 9-year-old.
Yes,
if the MASH theme song started playing, I'm like, God, what did we get into coke? I got to be at work in a half hour. Oh, what did I do? God,
that is so funny.
Yeah, the MASH theme song was like, I got to go to bed. I got to get out of here, man.
Yeah, it did feel like closing time. Like, all right, I got to really wind down now because here's this weird.
I've never seen a single episode of MASH, nor do I care to.
A situational comedy about the Korean War. Sign me up.
I don't care to, but yeah, that song was just, go to bed, buddy. You got work in the morning.
Yes. Yes. Oh, that's funny.
But I didn't know it was Niedermeyer. I was reading, so I read Lemmy's autobiography.
Uh-huh.
Oh, not of the Korean War. Lemmy's autobiography, like, listen, I read his and I read Nikki Sixx. I don't know if I was talking about this last week.
Yeah.
Was I?
Yeah, but give us more. This is fine.
Okay. Well, nothing. Just about how, like, all right, they're problematic, of course. Mm-hmm. I told you the line from Lemmy's, right?
No.
Like, Lemmy's, like, you know, he's kind of explaining why he has, like, he's like, yeah, I have all this old German memorabilia from World War II. It's a part of history. I don't think it's good.
Uh-huh.
I have it as artifacts, you know, as part of history. No, he's like, I'm not racist. And like, Tommy's like, racism's stupid. And then he's like, I know the line that kills it. I was like, it's just about how he doesn't understand why you'd be like, how stupid racism is. Like people that harass shopkeepers. He's like, yeah, Koreans can be lippy, but there's no need to be racist. Like, oh my God.
Oh, Lemmy.
And only Lemmy could say something like that, and you'd be like, I get where he's coming from.
You seen that documentary about him?
Anytime something like this is on, I've watched it. I don't know this, like, if it was a specific one or not.
There's one.
It was like a Sunset Strip documentary or a Lemmy documentary or Guns N' Roses.
Yeah, there's a few out there. There's one, the one, it's like 51%. Son of a bitch, 49% motherfucker, something like that's the title of it. But it's kind of endearing because the opening scene, it's just him in his cramped little West Hollywood apartment. And he makes note of like, well, no, it's rent control. Why would I move? Like, I don't know. You're a rock legend living in a one bedroom. But I kind of respect that. But yeah, he's just in there frying up potatoes. He's just making homemade French fries, like steak fries. It's just got the big pan of oil, got all his memorabilia everywhere. Just Lemmy just making homemade steak fries. Something endearing about that.
Well, he talks about, I still don't think they made a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah. He might be one of those where his persona and his image was much bigger than his financial success.
But his persona, I mean, he was not like opulent. With the crazy, because I'm reading this other book called Nothing But a Good Time. It's all about the 80s Sunset Strip era. And I'm still like, you know, listen, the punk rock and all that stuff, it means more, but the stories aren't any good.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to read a 300-page book about how the guys in Minor Threat didn't do any drugs? No, you're not. It gives a shit. Oh, and then we went home early. Chapter 5. Fuck, who cares?
Boy, Ian MacKaye seems like a fun hang.
Yeah, yeah. Or GGL. And like, I'm not going to read about how he stuck a microphone up his ass. Like, I'll watch a video once and then not need to know anything else about it. But that glam rock era, so I was reading about. That's the book I'm reading now, and it's all just different interviews from people of that era. It's interesting to me, and if you were at all, I'd say 44 years old or older, it might pertain to you too.
Yeah.
That, I do think about how a whole music scene died immediately when Nirvana showed up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, yeah, that instantly, you guys are all clowns.
Yeah. Has there ever been another transition like that? We're just, well, maybe, I don't know, the birth of rock and roll, maybe whatever was popular before that just got put on the shelf. But yeah, that
yeah,
was.
Yeah, or just what came in and swept everything else out.
Mm-hmm. But. Yeah, that was nuts. just over the course of a couple months.
And it was a bit. Yeah, and it was kind of how decadent and ridiculous how these bands, they were all sounding and looking the same, and there was no, it was just a money grab on all the companies of like, big hair, makeup, put it out. And everybody living like, we're the king. Like, not to say they all deserved it, but it's like, yeah, you acted like you were the hot shit. And any time that somebody acts like that, I feel like you're about to get bit in the ass.
Mm-hmm.
Just any form too, any comedian type of like, I'm unstoppable and the best there ever was. You're going down.
Yeah.
You can only go down. You can only go down from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To feel like, instead of being like, I'm on top now, I better enjoy this because you can't stay here.
No.
So enjoy that view while you have it. I don't know. It's interesting reads. That's what I was getting into, laying hobbled up in the van the last few days.
Yeah. How you feeling now?
So I'm bending the knee today. It bends today. Yesterday, man, I got back. I got into all my old medicines. Got back into the, I'm knocking on wood. Never got hooked on the stuff, but I had some pretty strong pain pills here.
Really?
And man, when they say these are addictive, I'm like, I get it. They're great.
Yeah.
They're so real, a real ride.
Yeah, I used to have a nice bottle that that I got in case of kidney stones. And, man, a few times, I mean, we've talked about that. I've had a few bouts with kidney stones, but, man, yeah, there was a couple of times where I was popping those suckers, and I was like, oh, I get it. I get why there's an opioid crisis.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, I'm glad I didn't get into these recreationally, because I'm like, I need them now.
Yeah.
And it's not like the things don't hurt. You're just like, I don't know. Pain's just like the wind at this point. It's just a thing I'll experience, but I'm cool with it.
So I still, after all these years of you having the gout, I'm unclear on the type of pain or what you experience when you have a flare-up. Like, is it just like...
Well, it moved...
Just a knee injury? It moved
up to my knee.
Okay.
Yeah, it was my foot. And even the last time this happened, I went and got an MRI on my knee because I'm like, this can't just be gout.
Really?
Something's broken. Huh. Something's torn. Like, that's how bad it feels. Like your leg doesn't work. Like, imagine your knee just stopped working. Like, what?
Really?
Oh, I'll just bend it. No, you're not going to bend it. The pain is going to be so much that you won't. The pain is just like a do not enter sign into bending your leg anymore. Normally, I'm like, it hurts, but I know the range of motion is there. This is like, no, you're not moving your leg.
Is it always the same foot and the same knee?
No, it was the last time after that Joshua Tree trip was my left knee.
Really?
This time it was my right knee.
It switches.
So it felt like I had a sunburn on the skin. It felt like I had the sunburn from the middle of my thigh down to the top of my ankle. The knee joint did not function. Weirdly enough, though, I could stand on it.
Huh.
I could stand and I could walk because you don't really have to bend your knee when you walk. But I had to take a... You ever try to take a shit with one leg that doesn't bend?
It's been a while. I can't
like
remember.
Like a pike? Not easy. Not an easy thing to do.
Man.
A lot of wiping after one of those. May as well just take a shower.
Yeah.
Also difficult to do.
Buddy.
So, yeah, just laid around, doped up. Got back in Saturday. Was feeling all right Saturday. Friday night was feeling bad. That's when I had that show in Missoula. So I apologize to anybody if I was... Didn't seem like I was at 100% on that show. It was at an art gallery. It was at an interactive art space that used to be an old Sears that was part of a shopping mall.
Oh, nice. An old Sears.
Yeah. That's why I was joking that, like, you know, this is, like, nice. You think you're watching capitalism fall and art reclaim the space, but then they still got to figure out how to charge people money who are on mushrooms. Like, well, okay, $10, come and wander around this old Sears we fucked up. But it was cool, man, and it came together last minute. It's called Giggle Box.
Up
there in Missoula.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's weird to walk around. Like, I can clearly see which parts, like, oh, here, this is the menswear section, but now it's all graffitied and a bunch of rubber bananas hanging off strings from the ceiling. I'm like, yeah, I like it.
That's pretty
cool. I like art reclaiming these spaces.
Yeah. Yeah, might as well do something with it.
Yeah, man. But it was cool. Yeah, many, many thanks to everybody that made those last few shows possible. Caroline, she's the one who's got the tattoo of I like this old stuff better. She's got that tattoo on her arm. I'm like, oh man, I'm gonna let you down someday.
Oh, I'll never live up to a
tattoo.
Yeah.
I don't think I'll ever live up to a tattoo.
Huh. Yeah, that's pretty cool, you know? Man. Is that I would feel a lot of pressure if someone got a tattoo of me.
Yeah.
I hope you're probably gonna regret this sooner than later.
Yeah, trust me, I'm gonna disappoint myself, which means you're going down with me.
Oh, man.
But that show was great. That was like a little tiny dive bar called the Roughed Up Duck. That was Monday. It was a week ago. Bozeman was at like a cocktail bar. Shit, I didn't realize Bozeman was expensive. I didn't know that. Bozeman, Montana.
I don't think I've been to Bozeman.
Man, same thing, more of a touristy downtown, I guess, because it's closer to Yellowstone there. Mm. But I get there, I'm like, I'll get a hotel for the night. All that shit, I got like a no-tell motel. It was like $300.
No way.
Yeah, that was the cheapest one I can get.
Was there something going on in town? Was there a convention?
No, it's summertime, and Yellowstone's right there.
Mm, okay. Man, that's a lot of money for a shitty hotel.
I got it for it. Well, I mean, it was clean. I won't put it on. The Bozeman Inn was a clean, for being a no-tell motel, it was clean, or the illusion of cleanliness was there.
Amazon Music. Yes, they have music now. If you're looking for a ready lineup of binge-worthy podcasts plus free streaming music, you have to check out Amazon Music. They've got more than 10 million free podcast episodes to listen to, including this one. But Amazon Music isn't just for listening to podcasts. They have thousands of music stations and top playlists to stream for free. And no matter what you're listening to, you can even go hands-free with Alexa. Get the app and enjoy free listening anywhere on your favorite devices. There's no credit card or subscription required. If you've never tried Amazon Music, what are you waiting for? You're going to love it. Start listening for free today. Head on over to Amazon.com/boogie. That's Amazon.com/boogie to stream thousands of music stations and over 10 million podcast episodes absolutely free. Amazon.com/boogie. Let's talk about Canva Pro, C-A-N-V-A, Canva Pro. I like to design stuff. I'm not very good at it, but I'm getting better thanks to Canva Pro. Got a lot of stuff coming up that's going to require me to get a little creative, whether we're talking homemade wedding invitations. I got some tour posters I got to start designing. I love fiddling around with this stuff. And thanks to Canva Pro, I don't feel like an idiot like I used to, because they make it so easy for anyone to use this stuff and create whatever you need to create. All right, Canva Pro, it's an easy-to-use design platform that has everything you need to design like a pro. Whether you're a professional designer or just getting started, Canva Pro can help boost you and your team's productivity and creativity. It's a quick, easy, and affordable way to design whatever you need. No matter what you're creating and sharing, Canva Pro has everything you need in one place, including a collection of, get this, over 75 million premium photos, videos, audio, graphics, whatever you need. Plus, Canva Pro comes with time-saving tools that simplify and speed up the creative process. You get all this and more in just one Canva Pro subscription. There's no idea too big or too small. No matter what you're doing, no matter who you are, if you're a student looking to make some stuff for school, crafty moms, entrepreneurs, small business owners, nonprofits, whatever you need, whatever you're trying to design, Canva Pro can help. Design like a pro with Canva Pro. Right now, you can get a free 45-day extended trial when you use our promo code. Just go to canva.me/boogie to get your free 45-day extended trial. That's canva.me/boogie, canva.me/boogie, canva.me/boogie.
But enough about me, Dave. What's going on with yourself? What's going on with a husband-to-be, Dave Stone?
That's right. Husband-to-be. Yeah, just working on the wedding, man. It's kind of like, it's similar to like booking a tour. There's just so many little details I didn't realize you had to take care of.
Oh, yeah. But, you got to get lighting, pyro.
Yeah.
Got to get all that stuff in there. Backup dancers.
Lockdown. Backup dancers. I locked down some catering. Pretty excited about that. Shout out to Tailored Events. T-A-Y-L-O-R-D Events, Tailored Events, based out of Glendora, California. This guy's really been working with me, and we're narrowing down the menu and getting everything set. I think we got it figured out.
I thought you said Taylor DeVince.
Tailored, like.
Yeah, no, I thought it was like a fancy Italian fella.
Yeah, DeVince.
Tailored DeVince for really getting my wardrobe correct.
Yeah, shout out to Tailored Events.
Got a stylist. Nice.
I was toying last week. We were talking about maybe the Kogi truck, maybe the In-N-Out truck. Decided just to go with one caterer for both meals. We're doing like a Friday night. Rehearsal dinner sounds a little formal, but just a Friday night catered event, just a hang Friday night. And then same guy's going to cater the dinner / reception. So we're going with Friday night, we're going Italian. We're going to serve it all family style. We're going to have charcuterie boards, cheese plates, big bowls of manicotti, maybe some ravioli, maybe some baked fucking ziti, who knows. But big Italian spread on Friday night. Big barbecue / southern spread on Saturday night. Dude, I did a lot of recon on this fella. checked his background. He smokes his meat. So we're going to do some smoked brisket, some pulled pork, some ribs.
That's what I was going to say. You're going to let somebody else handle barbecue on your wedding day.
Well, I wanted to do it myself, but Katie kind of put her foot down and says that I always overextend myself when I start cooking for large crowds.
We can get you an apron that looks like a tuxedo.
If it were up to me, I would want to do it, but she was like, "Look, you got there's so much going on. Just please let someone else do it." And I was like, "All right,
yeah, dude,
yeah." But full barbecue spread on Saturday. All the smoked meats, fried okra. Collard greens, cornbread, baked beans. Oh boy, it's gonna be nice. And we're serving all that family style too. Katie and I were kind of locked in a duel on whether or not to do. She didn't want to do buffet style, and I thought she wanted table service, and I thought table service a little pretentious. And so we met in the middle. I didn't even think about this, but the caterer was like, "Dude, let's do family style. We just bring out big trays, big plates, put them on the table, and everybody just kind of grab what you want, pass it on down." So
yeah, trust these drunks to not get food all over their nice clothes.
Exactly. But so stoked about that. Got that was a big box that needed to be checked. Was the catering? Like, what are we going to eat? Who's going to take care of that? So that's solved. We've got the event locked down, or the venue rather. The only big thing we have to do now is figure out lodging for everybody. So ideally I wanted to put everybody up like at the same hotel, but that's not happening just because the demand for hotels in Palm Springs in November is a lot higher than I anticipated. So
yeah, I think Rachel and I'll try to make a few days of it. So
yeah.
Probably get like an Airbnb or something.
Yeah, it should be fun, man. Got some invitations going. I don't want to not go spill the beans. We're not doing traditional invitations. I always thought those were boring. So doing something fun. Doing something fun and spicy for the invitations.
Nudie sexograms. Hunkograms? Are you sending out hunkograms?
Just me shirtless in a bathtub full of beans.
door to door. Remember that was a thing, like the send like a half naked lady to somebody's house.
Yeah, what did they
like
call that?
A stripogram.
There was that old SNL sketch with the land shark when everybody they'd say Candy Graham. What's it, Candy Graham? They say Candy Graham. And they, oh, yeah. And they opened the door, and it was a shark that just ate you. What's a Candy Graham? Just, hi, here's some candy. I think it was just like, a friend.
Yeah, I heard you, it's your birthday. Here's a card and balloons and shit.
Oh, man.
I think. That's what I'm assuming, but.
Yeah. But, yeah, working on that. Oh, dude, I made a big old pot of black beans this week. I forgot
big how, old pot of black beans.
Forgot how much I love black beans.
Sorry, that's my own Clutch song. Big old pot of black beans.
Oh, man. Not far off.
Okay. I was listening to some Clutch. That guy just really just sings about whatever is around him.
Man, what
is good is full of leaves, got no time for space aliens.
I remember we saw them together at the House of Blues. And
yeah,
and
doing Hollywood. Yard work at the apocalypse.
And you during the show, you leaned over, you said something like, I can't believe this guy's made a career out of just saying boogeyman noises.
That's how we named the podcast. Boogeyman yeah, this noise. Guy just sings a few lines and then makes monster sounds.
Oh, man. Oh, I've been working on them.
John F. Kennedy and Marilyn Monroe are my parents.
Oh, man. Oh, speaking of Marilyn Monroe, did I tell you the wedding venue is just a block away from her old place in Palm Springs where apparently she and JFK banged. So there's a little landmark there.
It's where they stupped.
I still think they had her killed. That's an interesting story.
There was a podcast that I was listening to, and I cannot remember the name of it, but they laid it out pretty well that it does seem like, yeah, she got offed.
She was messing around with both of them, right? Robert and John. That's odd. Just keep all that separate.
I wish I knew which podcast it was, but they did. It might have been like I said, I listened to those Parcast ones. I've been listening to a few of them again, and they are. It was a very dry layout of those things, but that one I listened to their research on that Marilyn Monroe thing about how it looked like her body had definitely been moved after she died, and how it was. Like her door was locked from the outside. There's a lot of suspect things around it where I was like, it does seem like this was, we got to keep this one quiet.
I wonder what intel she had other than, because I know she had threatened to like spill the beans, but I mean, I wonder what she was going to spill other than I'm having an affair with the president. I wonder if that enough, I feel like that alone wouldn't be enough. Given his reputation for kind of being a philanderer, I wonder if she knew some higher intel that she was going to spill.
I've consumed so many of these podcasts driving around that I don't remember what's what. And there's a couple other ones. I hate saying like, "Oh, this podcast was a great subject for our podcast," but trust me, nobody's going to filter it the way we do.
Exactly.
We ignore all facts and we just veer off onto non sequiturs the whole time. But it is worth looking into. They did lay out like the facts of the matter, like the time of death, like what they thought the time was, recorded, but what really the time was. And like, again, how like if a person dies, that the blood pools on the bottom of the body. And so that part, clearly it showed that her body was moved and that pills couldn't have done it, or it was a lot of factors that gave me enough of like, this is a curious one. And another one, I was a book on tape I was listening to, it's called Chaos, and it's about how they think that Charles Manson was a CIA or an FBI informant.
Really?
And that they wanted And I've been listening at like a slower speed so I could sleep. I'll put podcasts on a slower speed mm-hmm. so they sound a little drunk and it's a little more lulling.
Huh, never thought to do that.
But what I've gotten through half osmosis and almost a sleep state was interesting about how, yeah, he kept getting caught before these murders happened. He was like on probation for all his shit and would get caught and they just kept letting him go. They kept letting him go huh. for all these things he got caught before these murders happened. And keep in mind, he was never there. He did not murder anybody.
Yeah.
He was just the cult leader.
Uh-huh.
And it was this guy, he's proposing that because the CIA wanted to, like, with COINTELPRO and wanted to take out all these hippies and really sow seeds of doubt in the hippie and counterculture movement, that they kind of were all right with, like, because Manson, they were all hippies and flower children that were, like, still did these murders,
mm-hmm.
that they were like in a very convoluted way allowed to happen to sow seeds of doubt mm-hmm. in the counterculture movement. That whole, like, the idea, like, here's the death of the 60s was basically, they say, those murders is what kind of like, oh, the idealistic peace and love movement died when those murders happened.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not they wanted them to happen, they're like, oh, this is good. We can use this now to turn the public's opinion towards this movement and against like things like the Black Panthers because of, and I'm screwing up how, but that it was going to help turn the public's opinion away from the countercultural revolution.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's an interesting enough take. And this guy, again, he's digging up enough little tidbits here and there and about the guy who basically wrote the book Helter Skelter
mm-hmm.
benefited off of it and left out a lot of crucial details and to create this best. He was the lawyer for in the case.
Hmm.
And it was a conspiracy theory I had not heard about.
Yeah, that's interesting. I wouldn't put it past the CIA to try to pull off something like that.
Yeah.
I saw some interesting interview the other day with Bryan Cranston, you know, that actor. And he had met Charles Manson before all that went down. He just tells his story about he grew up in the L.A. area. And when he was like 11 or 12 years old, he and his brother used to go up to Spahn Ranch and ride horses. Like, I don't know, they had some connection, where some family connection where they'd go up there and the two brothers would ride horses all day, and one time they met a guy named Crazy Charlie. Everybody kept talking about, Charlie's here, Charlie's here. And then like he rode by on a horse all strung out, and people were like, oh, there goes Crazy Charlie. And then like a year later, all that happened, and he saw it on the news. And he's like, holy shit, that's the guy that we rode horses with.
Really?
Yeah. That's always intriguing to me, like infamous people, like encounters. People who have encounters before they become infamous. Like, oh, that's so the dude.
Yeah, were at a bar and danced with Ted Bundy. And yeah, he's just this charming dude hanging around.
Man, I'm going off on different things now. But I was also watching, this is a while back, I can't remember what band. It was a music documentary. Might have been about Driving and Crying or something. But if I remember the anecdote correctly, somebody, these bands were starting, these teenagers. We had this band and we had that band. And then somebody's band, the bass player came up missing. It was like high school band, not like a before anybody was established. But yeah, somebody's bass player came up missing, or they had to get a new bass player because somebody came up missing. Come to find out, it was one of Jeffrey Dahmer's victims. Like, oh yeah. Our original,
really?
Yeah, yeah. So, something to that effect, where somebody's early high school band, one of the members went missing, and then it later was revealed that that was one of Dahmer's victims.
Oh. I mean, have you ever I'm sure with, you know, the police history, but, like, ever got the sincere vibe off of being around someone where you're like, ooh, this is someone that is not on the mental plane as everybody else.
All the time. all the time. Still to this day.
Maybe it's you then.
Yeah.
But if that's the case, maybe you're the one.
No, dude. I can pick up on that energy. Oh,
Dave's been the psycho this whole time.
Dude, I met a guy this week that made me feel that way. Mm-hmm. So I won't name the business, but it's a local business involving animals. I went to take Charlie to get some stuff done. First time at this new place, and I was like, oh, shit, something's off with this fella. And then, sure enough, I later did some research on that business, and there was just dozens of reviews of, like, what's up with this guy? Like, super.
Really?
Yeah, just super weird energy. I've never claimed to be. I don't know, people who talk about being an empath and having all these special abilities. I don't think I have any of that, but I can tell when someone's a fucking creep, man. Just there's something in their eyes. There's just I pick up on some energy, and that happened a lot back when I was a cop, and to this day I still pick up on people like something's not right.
Dave Stone, no bullshit Southern psychic. All right, yeah, well, I guess I'm getting a couple visions here. I can only contact them if I'm eating a plate of biscuits. I don't have a crystal ball. I got biscuits and gravy I got to look into. And then, well, you got like a relative older, some real son of a bitch. Real son of a bitch.
Oh, man. Yeah, dude, seriously, some people, you could just tell this energy. And I mean, I don't want to go off on all this, but like, I mean, I'm liberal, and I'd like to think that I'm progressive, and I'm all for giving people second chances and giving people the benefit of the doubt, but I think some super progressive liberal people don't understand that I truly think there are certain people on this planet that are just fucking evil, that offer no good. I mean,
you read about, yeah, you know what sociopaths and psychopaths are, and I think it's within comedy I've met them more. More sociopaths, I wouldn't say necessarily psychopaths, but like where you are, like you don't understand, like you're not selfish in choosing to be selfish. Mm-hmm. You're just not aware that your actions affect other people, and you don't, your mental makeup is like, well, their feelings aren't important. Mm-hmm. My success is more important.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the sociopath.
Yeah.
But I meant like straight up, like, I think this person may have killed somebody.
Oh, yeah.
I got creeped out by when I went to the Museum of Death in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And the proprietors were there, and they were just a little too excited. Remember when you meet like 15-year-old kids that are into death metal?
Mm-hmm.
They're super into like the blood and gore and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, you're 15 and you're trying to scare people, like, you're figuring out who you are. But these were adults that ran the Museum of Death. And I was kind of like, well, I'm here. I paid money to see all this creepy shit. But then they were way too excited. Like, yeah, we got Charles Manson's prison jacket, man. We had it. You know who we sold it to? Johnny Depp bought it. They were like adults that were still too fascinated.
Yeah.
With serial killers. So I'm like, you guys probably killed a homeless person. You guys. You weren't enough being a fan of the band. You tried to learn the instruments yourself, you know? Because, I mean, that serial killer, I as much as I think it's, you shouldn't base your personality type around, well, you base your personality type around whatever you want, but the people that are just like, I know a lot about serial killers, it's like, all right, you could have just developed as a human, but you want to, this is what you identify as. It's like weed culture type stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Like, oh, this is your personality type, and you're going to scare me because you know a lot about this. Like, no, it is fascinating that we're all of the same makeup, walking generally the same existence, except you went off this way.
Mm-hmm.
Some wire got fried out in your brain where you have to do this thing. I'm curious about that.
I have a theory that pedophiles have bad vision. Every pedophile I've ever met has had thick glasses. Now, I'm not saying everybody with bad vision is a pedophile, but I think if you really looked into it.
Oh, that's this 43-year-old woman. I'm fucking so small.
Dude, I've met.
Oh, wait a minute.
Seriously, like, I've met more pedophiles than I care to admit to. Well, that sounds weird. No, just from the cop days. Like, I would run into people and then get a vibe, and then later, there was more than a handful of cases where, like, I'd have repeat customers. We'd go to certain houses for other things, and I'd meet people, and I'm like, whoa, this dude is fucked. Like, you could just tell something's not right with this dude. And then, sure enough, 6 months later, you know, a detective tells me, oh, yeah, that guy, you remember the whatever? Yeah, we busted him with some kiddie porn. Just a handful of cases like that where I would get...
That's what I'm saying. Maybe he didn't even know it was kiddie porn. He just couldn't see what he was looking at.
But, like, especially with whatever that gene is, the pedophile, the sex criminal, whatever, there's just... Now, obviously, there's a lot of people that partake in that are keeping it on the down low and concealing it, but I'm saying... There are some people that engage in that kind of stuff where you can just see it on their face. You can see it in their eyes, like, oh, man, there is a extreme darkness going on with this fella right here. And then sure enough, you know, later on it's determined, oh, yeah, he got arrested for pedophilia. Yeah, that tracks.
The thick glasses do look suspect, mm-hmm. which is unfortunate. Some people are just hard of seeing. Also, transition lenses.
Mm-hmm.
I'll hold that. You could just... Without, if I was in this, I mean, I'm not a politician, but if I was, anybody with any man with transition lenses and Skechers, you should detain them. They should just be detained until deemed innocent of anything. Because I always said men's Skechers are just pedophile Air Jordans. That's all men's Skechers are. See a grown man in Skechers and transition lenses, lock him up for a day, yeah, just to make sure.
Just to see.
See what you can get out of him. That's an untrustworthy individual.
Man.
I'm trying to think offhand, but no, it was in comedy where it's like, oh, there's some extreme personality types already in stand-up,
mm-hmm.
and egotism.
Yeah,
egotisticalism. You know, really up their own ass.
Uh-huh.
And where it's like, all right, sometimes, you know, it takes that mentality to make it. Like, I got to hustle. Like, all right, I get it. I think I'm obnoxious, but okay. And then other times it's like, oh, you are just... You just have the blinders on,
mm-hmm.
and you were going to be this way in any profession you chose. It's like, I'm going to succeed no matter what. Not in a hustler way, but in a sociopath way.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it's a lot of those in comedy.
Yeah, man. But I was always trying to wonder, like, we've probably all met, like, have been introduced or spoken with someone who's a murderer.
Oh, yeah, for sure, right? Just the sheer odds of even, how many people we encounter.
Even if it's just like, yeah, even if it's like a No Country for Old Men type of thing, like pick a side of the coin type shit.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not that close that we were close to death, but being in a bar, you know, being in a bar somewhere on a Friday night, mm-hmm. like, ooh, this guy's creepy and trying to hit on women. Or something like that. We've probably all met one. That's a scary feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'll make you paranoid of the world.
Yeah, I think about that a lot, especially when I'm out in big places, big public areas, you know, at the mall or a mm-hmm. ball game. I'm always like, I sometimes do the same exercise with which one of these people is an alien, but you could also do it with which one of these people is a serial killer. That's fun to do too.
Which I realize I look like a weirdo because I go drink by myself. Oh, shit, I was in Missoula just going to every bar by myself, a guy not from town,
mm-hmm.
limping in, drinking alone.
Mm-hmm.
Like then going to sleep in a van at Walmart. I realize, yeah. like, oh, I'm going to be a suspect.
Oh, yeah,
if
for
some
sure.
shit goes down, I'm going to be a suspect.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of parallels between serial killers and touring comedians, for sure. You're in a different yeah. town every night. You're alone. You're always on the run. Oh, yeah.
That was we talked about that before, but there was like that comic that did get busted. He was
right.
sexually assaulting women. They traced it to his tour schedule.
Wow.
And he was a real fucking psycho. He was like, he was playing college gigs and would take him into the band room because he knew it was soundproofing.
Jesus.
Like, that's throw them in the chair type shit.
Yeah. Yeah, I always felt like a fugitive when I was on tour. A lot of times I'm hanging out in state parks. You know, I'm always on the move.
Yeah. And just being alone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why is that guy alone? Why do you got to be with people? Mm-hmm. Because look at you guys. You're obnoxious. Yeah. That's why I'm by myself. I felt bad. I was sitting at the one bar in Missoula, and there was kind of like, I'm not going to say they were tweakers. They're very like, look like early 20s drinking, you know, skate teens or youths.
Mm-hmm.
And the one gal like was journaling, like artwork journaling, but it wasn't good art. It was definitely like, this is how I process emotions type of artwork. And they left, and I saw there was a wallet on the ground right there. I was like, oh shit, I couldn't run because my knee was fucked up. And I told the bartender, I'm like, I think this is their wallet. Please don't toss out my beer. I'm coming back. And I get out of the door, and I see the gal's already kind of down the street a bit. But I didn't, not like, there's other people out there. So I'm like, how am I going to figure out? I can just go, hey, Blondie. Like, cause she's blonde girl. And it's like the first thing I could think of to get her attention. Cause I'm like, hey, you, I don't know, there's 20 people out. I'm like, hey, yo, Blondie. Like, what, I turned into my fucking grandfather,
yeah,
trying to get a waitress's attention. And as soon as she turned around, I'm like, is this your wallet? Also, I'm sorry for calling you Blondie. She's like, it's all right. It got my attention. I'm like, here you go. She's like, thank you very much. I'm like, I didn't. It was like the first thing that came to my mind to try and get your attention before you skateboarded away.
Well, at least you yelled for her. I don't like it when people ask me to yell at someone. Hey, stop that guy. Yell at that guy. No, you yell at him. I don't know what's going mm-hmm. on. I've had that before. Yeah. Hey, get that guy's attention.
What do you want me to get? Yeah, no. I got no context.
Yeah, exactly.
Ah! Boo!
I don't yell. I don't, no secondhand yelling. You yell at him. If you need him, you yell at him.
I'll make clutch noises at him. Yeah. That worked? Did that get him? No? Well, you should have given me more information.
Oh, man. All right, let's talk about Adam and Eve. They keep sponsoring the Boogie Monster because you guys keep buying stuff from them to place in certain parts of your body, and for that, we are forever grateful. Free stuff is awesome, we know that, but free stuff to spice up your bedroom, even better. Select almost any one item for 50% off, and then Adam and Eve loads on the free stuff. Enter offer code Boogie at checkout. You're going to get 10 tantalizing free gifts. A sexy item for him, special gift for her, third item you'll both enjoy, then 6 free spicy movies. Do that math, that's 10 free gifts. Plus, free shipping, that's gift number 11. Holy crap, that's BOOGIE, offer code Boogie at checkout. BOOGIE, offer code Boogie at checkout at adamandeve.com.
When was the last time you did something just for you? Discover your summer essentials with FabFitFun, the best subscription box service delivering full-size self-care and wellness products delivered straight to your door. Their experts carefully pick from top trending products for you to personalize your own box of happiness. Just choose your plan and get ready for the best in home, fashion, beauty, wellness, and so much more. So whether it's the perfect beach blanket, a handy wine chiller, or aloe vera gel, FabFitFun has you covered for all of your fun in the sun needs. You'll get to choose some of the products to go in your box while the rest are a surprise. Plus, you can access other perks like flash sales and new items up to 70% off. FabFitFun is more than just an incredible value. It's me time in a box, all about the brands you love, the brands you will love, and doing something that's just for you. Visit FabFitFun.com for 50% off your first box while supplies last when you use code TALKSHOW. That's FabFitFun.com, code TALKSHOW.
So you're back home.
Voice you're using.
How's, did you Did you reunite with Jenny Nooch?
Oh, man, Lil Creepy D. You know what? Rachel and Lil Creepy D have formed a very strong bond.
Nice.
I am, it's not my house anymore,
no?
Man.
Well,
I gotta win it back. She's always, when there's two people in the house, Lil Creepy D is always kind of like, all right, then y'all are hanging out.
Yeah.
And she has to choose one or the other. Oh. So I'm working on winning that trust back.
Yeah.
But she went out, because I got back Saturday afternoon, and she was out in the yard Saturday night, heard a little commotion, came back in with a bloody nose. She's still out there bruising. Hey, she out there bruising. I'd hate to see the other guy. That's all I'd say. I'd hate to see the other guy.
Little bloody nose.
Yeah, she's all scraped up, but was like, yeah, I took care of it. Now give me pets. I'm like, all right, you got it. Yeah, I got that jerk out of here. I appreciate you. Get on the couch. We're hanging out. Watching.
That's awesome.
We watched a fun movie that had a couple decent scary parts. Called A Werewolf Within.
Oh, I saw that. I haven't seen it, but I saw the thumbnail. I was like, huh, what's that?
It was a fun one. Fun one. With Sam Richardson, who's just a funny dude.
Yeah. Detroit. Oh, dude, speaking of Detroiters, that new season of I Think You Should Leave. Holy shit. Have you watched that yet?
I have not.
Oh, my God. I'm such a fan of that dude. Tim Robinson.
Yeah.
Not every, as the case is with any sketch show, not every sketch is going to hit, but the ones that do hit real hard. Like some of those sketches, that dude is so goddamn funny. Just, oh, my God. I can't even put my finger on it either. I don't know what it is about him that cracks me up so much, but I think it's just he's got that
weirdos.
Yeah, he's got that kind of loose cannon vibe, like, and he's so good at it where it's like this guy's so funny he's scary, like he's almost a danger to himself. God,
that was Detroit. Because I saw somebody throwing love on Detroiters on account of, like, man, it's so great to see this show and those guys doing well, but it's a shame that Detroiters didn't get the,
yeah,
you know, the exposure it deserved. And that was another one of old Rachel's shows.
That's right. That's right.
Brought to fruition over at Comedy Central.
Right.
Yeah.
So, in a way, she's responsible for his success, because that was like his first big thing, I think, was Detroiters.
I don't know about respond, but yeah, like had like saw the potential in the show that they wanted to make about their hometown.
Yeah. But yeah, man, that's the both seasons of that. I Think You Should Leave, just insane.
I gotta watch it. I watched some of the first one. I liked it a lot.
There's one, I won't spoil it, but there's one where they're kind of doing that premise of, you know, Johnny Knoxville did it, a few other people did it, where someone dresses up like an old man. There were some viral videos that were actually real funny going around a couple years ago where like these CrossFit type dudes would dress up like in good makeup and look like they were 75, and then they'd go to like Venice Beach and like lift weights and blow people's minds. Like, how's this 75-year-old man lifting that much weight? Anyway, that old premise of just dressing up like an old man and going out in public. And that was, they did like a setup to a prank show like that. But the makeup and the costume was just ridiculous. Like, it didn't look real at all. In fact, he looked just completely scary and freaky. And then I won't spoil any of the twist or jokes, but oh my God, just some of the premises they came up with on that show, just so damn funny.
There's a new Jackass coming out.
Really?
As I've said in the past, I'm like, there's no way it's going to be as funny as the ones before. This one, I really don't know if it will be, but I will absolutely go see it, because each Jackass that came out, I watched and I'm like, this might be the greatest thing I've ever seen.
Man, talk about guilty pleasure. So, like, I felt so bad for watching. I'm like, oh, God, this is just making me dumber by the second. But, man, some of that stuff is so fun.
No, there's a level of an intellect and a level of heart to make something that dumb still be appealing.
That sketch they used to do where they put a baby on a car seat of a baby's car seat on top of the car and drive off.
Yep, just the easiest thing.
Or
Johnny Knoxville with old balls hanging out of his shorts. Yeah, come on.
Oh man, some of that shit was so stupid.
Yeah, I love it. God bless him for doing it. I wonder. I know there's a lot of drama now with Bam Margera being all.
What's his deal?
Fucked up. He's just all fucked up.
Yeah.
He's like
on drugs.
On the 1,000th rung of a downward spiral kind of thing. Mm. And, you know, the other fella passed away.
Yeah, what, Ryan Dunn.
Yeah, Ryan Dunn. He was one of the fun ones in there, too. Yeah. It was a sad one. But so I'm curious. I'm curious to see how guys in their 50s can do this kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
Without it being that same kind of vibe, like that same vibe of like seeing comics that are still like shit, and I get scared that I'm in that group of like, well, right, man, we fucking partying, like, why?
Yeah,
you don't have to. Like, people buy me shots, and I'm like, oh, I forget where I was. I'm like, all right, I'll drink some shots. Oh, I was at the bar next to the one in Fort Wayne. Guys just kept giving me shots. I'm like, I mean, I'll drink them with you.
Ugh, shots. I'm not
getting maniac about it.
What's the hurry? What's the hurry with the shots? I'll get there.
At that one bar in Missoula, they had, it was just a big old like water cooler type of jar and a like a pickled egg type jar with a tap in it on the bar, with nothing but peppercini peppers in it, and like vodka.
Huh.
And I know that because like, what is this? She's like, it's just vodka. With pepperoncinis, it's a pepperoncini shot.
Okay.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, that sounds okay.
I was like, I got to taste this. You know what it had? You ever do picklebacks? You ever mess with those?
No, I don't do any backs. I just, you know.
No, it's like a training wheels thing.
Yeah, but no, I've heard of people with a pickleback.
I wanted to try it once because I was like, what's this all about? Oddly enough, so I tried it and I was kind of impressed at how quickly it eliminated the whiskey flavor out of your mouth.
Ooh, dude, I just have an idea. Let's learn proper English. That's my idea.
That's your second idea.
You know how there's like booze soaked fruit, you know, like vodka, rum, soaked watermelon, pineapple rings. Can we do that with a pickle? Imagine crunching on a big old dill pickle that's been soaked in vodka.
Well, isn't that the whole thing? Is the pickle is saturated already?
Okay, so that's why that's not going to work. Hmm. Could you?
But I see where your head's at.
Could you start from scratch? Could you? Okay, you take your cucumbers and the whole pickling process. You incorporate some booze into the pickling process.
Hmm. Well, now, how does the pickling process work? I mean, this is a question I ask you. I don't know, because then there's something about brining and why the host item would absorb the... Isn't that why they use vinegar or something? Like, that's what absorbs into the...
Yeah, but I'm saying...
I have no idea how this works.
Whatever your solution is, whatever your brining solution is with the vinegar and the spices and whatnot, I'm saying, what if at that step early on we incorporated some booze... Along with the vinegar, are you saying the
Dave's hard pickles? Starting up the Dave's hard pickle business.
Dave's hard pickled eggs. You could do that with a pickled egg.
Oh, hey, do you want to get drunk but also feel like Cool Hand Luke? He just felt sick because he ate all those eggs. You could do that and also feel woozy at the same time. Oh, we didn't think about this idea nearly enough.
Dave got into the...
Dave's hard pickled eggs.
Dave's drug pickles. Oh, man.
We know that booze-soaked watermelon is great.
Yeah.
But have you had Dave's... God. This is Dave's... This is Dave's bourbon-infused sweet potatoes. It's just one sweet potato.
That sounds good.
Soaked in Jack Daniels. It's not cooked. It's still hard to eat.
Oh, man.
Can you guys get... It's corn on the cob, but it's filled with gin. We've injected gin into the middle of the cob. It squirts out. Gin squirts out right in your mouth, like 100 little water fountains out of each kernel.
Oh, I saw somebody do that with gummy bears. They made drunken gummy bears.
I get that with the sweet. I just don't think it's going to work into the vegetable world so much. I don't think it's going to turn into, like, try these rum tomatoes. Oh God.
I think if there's one vegetable that it could work, it would be a pickle, because it's already, you know, it's already tart and sour. You got the vinegar and...
That's the thing. With this vodka, it didn't taste like vodka at all, but it wasn't super spicy because of the pepperoncinis. It just kind of tasted like almost like a pickle juice type of thing.
Yeah.
As a shot. I don't know. I didn't take a bite out of the peppers. But you go to those... I mean, shit, that's a... Where is it? China or something, where they just have the different vats. It's always vodka, but like one's got a snake in it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, one's got the child of their enemies in it. It's just, they'll infuse it through anything.
They still do that with tequila, with a worm? Can you buy tequila with a worm in the bottle?
I'm sure, maybe not in America. Yeah. Maybe that hasn't passed FDA standards, but I think you could still... I think you'd still get it. My sister was in Mexico City just eating bugs. Mm. Like culinarily, not just off the patio or anything. Not just recreationally in the park, like they were prepared into a dish.
Just sliding a stick into an ant hole. Yeah.
It's not like she's just not well. See, she somehow found herself south of the border.
Tegan, we could get you a taco. Come on.
Eating tarantulas out of a spare tire compartment of an old Volkswagen. I'll wire you money. Please stop sending us pictures of this.
Oh, shit. All right.
Well, we've missed the topic again.
I did realize we've already been at it for over an hour. Oh, boy. Nobody could kill time like us, Kyle.
Well, the people listening to the show.
Yeah, that's true.
At least we feel like we're doing something at the end of this hour. They don't get that back. The listener does not get this back.
Oh, man. Okay, I got a quick question for you. Wedding entertainment. What would be a fun... What are some fun party games you'd like to see at a wedding? Like, what about... I was thinking about getting a ping pong table. What if I brought in a ping pong? Something for people to do, you know? Like, hey, let's hang out and play cornhole or ping pong.
Are you going to have dancing?
We're going to have dancing, I guess, yeah.
But that's what people want to do at a wedding.
That's what they want to do? They don't want to play ping pong?
You've been to weddings, right?
I've been to a couple. I haven't been to many.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't have to be a sports bar.
Well, it's outdoor. Like it's really a pretty venue, and I just thought, you know, maybe some lawn darts or some horseshoes. Horseshoes would be fun.
I mean, I was at a wedding that had horseshoes.
Mm-hmm.
I will say
bocce ball.
People want to socialize, man.
Okay,
and people want to dance. That's what they want to do. I don't think you have to worry about keeping people entertained. I mean, I'm assuming the people you're inviting have also been to weddings.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It's my first crack at it.
If you want to play ping pong, I get it. Ping pong is fun.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what it is. I think I just want to play some.
But it's also, I think I don't know. You start playing ping pong, you see the rest of your friends are over there dancing. You're like, oh, I'm going to go dance.
Yeah, I guess I got to make a dance playlist. I'm working on wedding playlist, and I didn't realize how much of the music I enjoy is sad bastard music. Or as you would say, one time you accused me of listening to Confederate funeral music. It's It's like, well, you know.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Get some songs.
I'll tell you what. I'll go to the Reddit. Let's hear what are people's favorite dance jams. Mm-hmm. I once had an idea that a bar that just make it like a wedding reception theme where it's like, all right, we just play the fun songs, forget about the scene. Yeah, we're going to play Celebrate by Kool and the Gang.
Uh-huh.
You know? Just let's start it up. Who cares? Yeah. You're drunk.
Yeah.
You know how much fun you have at a wedding? What if it was just like this at a bar on a Friday night?
Yeah, I think maybe that's where I need some help because...
Which is Tony and Tina's wedding. I realize I just invented Tony and Tina's wedding. But hey, people out there, go on to Reddit. Let's start a thread. What are some unexpected jams?
Yeah.
That's always fun when you're like, I don't know this song, but it's got a good groove. Yeah. I can dance to it without feeling like I'm going to be surprised by some element in it.
Yeah. Yeah, I do need some help because Towns Van Zandt's not really wedding music. You know, just got to...
No, man. Poncho and Lefty, I mean, you get a bunch of ODs in the bathroom if that's what you're looking for.
Oh,
if you need
man.
Something to play over, if you need something to play over the soundtrack of an ambulance taking away some friends, you play Poncho and Lefty.
Oh man, I'm going to make sure there's some vegetarian items for my vegetarian guest. Kyle, what do you think about a smoked portobello mushroom? Would you get down on that?
Absolutely, barbecue plate, dude. I'll eat all the sides, too, man.
Fried okra, smoked portobello mushroom. I'll definitely do some smoked portobello mushrooms. That'd be fun.
I'll be good, man. I'll probably be back on the shellfish if that shows up. Mm-hmm. I got these Red Lobster gift certificates because my mom got them for me for my birthday.
Nice.
And I was going to say maybe we should go last night. I was like, maybe we should go. I'm like, maybe I should skip that shellfish. Although that hasn't been the trigger. It's the fact that my beer saturation has been 100% for almost 2 months.
Can we talk about real quick how adorable it is that your mom got you Red Lobster gift certificates for your birthday? That's adorable.
She knows what her boy likes.
Way to go, Deb.
Yeah, and we got one over here, too. I was kind of waiting for Shrimp Fest, and I get my most bang for my buck, you know?
Did you send your tape in for Shrimp Fest? I didn't get it last year.
My submission. I got three day passes. I got the VIP package for Shrimp Fest.
I'm headlining this year.
They let you just go in the kitchen and watch them make the fettuccine alfredo. I got a meet and greet with the sous chef.
Getting a fist fight with the night manager over the starting in time of Shrimp Fest.
I got an exclusive shuttle service door to door.
Ugh.
I'm real excited. We're gonna camp out for Shrimp Fest this year.
Okay.
We're gonna stay the whole weekend. What happened? I did too much acid, man. I missed most of Shrimp Fest. I was fucking hiding under a booth for most of the weekend. It's really bad time.
Oh my god.
Fucking met my wife at Shrimp Fest, dude.
Why is that so funny?
Because we're easy. Oh, comedically, we're easy targets, Dave. We don't need the highfalutin stuff.
Oh, Jesus. All right.
What are we going to get to next week?
Yeah.
What was the topic we've been putting off for 3 weeks?
I've got it right here. I haven't revealed it. Now it's too much pressure. I'm going to have to come up with a new topic.
All right, we'll save it.
Yeah.
We'll save it.
I'm going to have to come up with a new topic because we've been building this one up so much.
Yeah, building it up. That's what we've been doing. Oh, a bunch of teasers. Really wetting the whistles out there.
Oh, hey, did you hear about LA's going.
Two Polish guys that went into. Okay.
LA's going back to a mask mandate.
Heard about
Jesus. It. Jesus. What is going on? Are we all going to get. We all going to get the Delta variant now?
I don't know, man.
Thought we were out of the woods.
I just went through every state that did not give a shit.
Yeah.
So it's weird to be back and see people wearing masks again.
Man. It's a crazy world we're living in, Kyle.
We'll get into it. Speaking of that crazy world, I got to get out into it. We got to go up to...
Oh, yeah.
Got to go up to Washington now today. Just kick it.
Really?
Yeah.
You
kick it for a week.
You haven't traveled enough.
Yeah. Well, Rachel got an Airbnb. We're just going to kick it on a lake.
That's nice. Good for you, man.
I'm just going to go splish splash around for a few days.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, man.
That's fun. Well, welcome home, buddy. I'm glad you made it back, man. Safe. Glad you had
it was a journey.
What was it, 7 weeks?
Right on about seven. Dude. Yeah, I left the Saturday before Memorial Day.
That is a haul, buddy.
Yeah, man. But lots of people want to know when you're doing shows in Long Beach.
Oh, I got some coming up. I'll start.
You got to tell. Let people know they want to go, man.
I'll start plugging them. I'll plug them soon.
All right. Well, I'll plug my shit now. I'm doing the reopening. Fingers crossed the reopening of the Vermont Comedy Club.
Oh, nice.
Labor Day weekend.
There you go.
So that's what I got coming up.
Vermont's pretty, man. I like it up that way.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a fun club. It's one of the last places I played before the whole shutdown.
Mm.
And they've been shut down, I think, since then, too. So it's a nice little bookend.
There you go. Well, right on, buddy.
Yeah, let's go. Let's get out there and meet some murderers.
Mm-hmm.
Meeting my favorite murderer. That's our podcast. Making my favorite murder. That's what combine them. Be released after the crime is committed, and here's how we did it.
Oh, boy. Well, all right, man. Well, enjoy your little getaway. You've earned it.
Thanks, man. Yeah, everybody go on Reddit and come up with better songs than old Sad Sack Dave has planned for his wedding.
Yeah.
You know, let's hear some jams.
Oh, man.
All right, man.
Well, cool, buddy.
We'll get you. They'll help you out with that one. They'll help you out with that playlist.
We'll figure it out.
The Boogie Monster.